If you would turn to Hebrews chapter 11, reading verses 17 through 40. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 40. This is the word of the Lord. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. This is the word of the Lord. Prior to Hebrews chapter 11, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, you are reminded that you have need of endurance. You have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Hebrews chapter 11 is then an exhortation to endurance, setting forth before you those who endured in the hope of receiving what was promised. Hebrews chapter 11 is an exhortation to endurance. It is a history of the people of God from the beginning of the world to the coming of Christ. It is a history of their endurance by faith. It is given to you. It is given to you as an example of what it means to live by faith and not by sight. It is given to you as an example of what it means to endure by faith, to endure by faith unto the end. It is given to you because you have need of endurance. Endurance is not optional. Endurance is not optional to your salvation. It's not something that you could take or leave. Endurance is a necessary part of your salvation. You must endure. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. The one who endures to the end, he will be saved. You have need of endurance. You must endure. The one who endures to the end will be saved. You are right to confess the preservation of the saints. You are right to take comfort in the preservation of the saints. Not one whom the Father gives to Christ will be lost. No one can pluck you from His hand. Nothing can separate you from His love. But even as you confess the preservation of the saints, you must also confess the perseverance of the saints. Just as the people of God live by faith, so they also endure by faith. Just as you begin by faith, so must you also end by faith. The people of God persevere to the end. Those who do not persevere, they do not belong to the people of God. Those who do not endure, they will not enter the kingdom of God. The letter of Hebrews was written to a church struggling to persevere. The letter of Hebrews was written to a church struggling to endure. The letter of Hebrews was written to a church struggling to listen to the voice of the Lord, struggling to be faithful to the Word of God. The letter of Hebrews was written for you because you have need of endurance. So that when you have done the will of God, that you may receive what is promised. And within that letter, Hebrews chapter 11 is given to you as an example of what it means for you to endure. Of what it looks like for you to endure of what it costs you to endure, of what it gains you to endure. The people of God who preceded you, your elders in the faith, they form a great cloud of witnesses that surround you. They form a great cloud of witnesses surrounding you, cheering you on by their testimony, cheering you on, cheering you forward, that you may run the race that is set before you with endurance, a race which they have completed, a race which they have won. Hebrews chapter 11 reminds you of your hope. It reminds you of the reason for which you endure. It reminds you of why you persevere. When the world derides you, when the world scoffs at you, when the world slanders you, cheats you, persecutes you, when the church fails you, when you have doubts within you, that cloud of witnesses, the testimony of Hebrews chapter 11 calls out to you. Have confidence in your hope. Endure with faith, and you will receive what is promised. It urges you forward to something better. To something perfect. The entire cloud of witnesses in Hebrews chapter 11, your elders in the faith, they were all commended through their faith, but they all did not receive what was promised. They lived in faith, and they died in faith. Not one of them lived to see the fulfillment of God's promise. You are not to envy them. It is much the opposite. They envy you. Conquering kingdoms, enforcing justice, stopping the mouths of lions, quenching the power of fire, becoming mighty in war, putting foreign armies to flight. Do you envy those things? Do you envy such visible demonstrations of power? Is that your hope? Is that what you long for? Is that what you are looking for? For though your elders in the faith did these things, and though they did them by faith, none of it was their receiving what God had promised. It is no accident that the final section of Hebrews chapter 11 begins in verse 33 with great demonstrations of power and ends with great demonstrations of suffering. It is a reminder to you of what faith ultimately gains you in this world. It is a reminder to you of what you are to expect in this world if you live by faith. Would you wield a hammer in faith to stop the advance of Islam, to put its armies to flight? Would you wield a sword in faith to cut down secularism, to enforce justice against it? Were you to do it all, were you to do it in faith, it would not be the fulfillment of what God has promised. It would not be the fulfillment of your hope. It would not be that better thing in store for you. The Christian faith is not a religion of power through power. The Christian faith is a religion of power through weakness. Not the power of man, but the power of God through the weakness of man. Do you envy what your elders in the faith enjoyed? They were looking forward to what you enjoy. Something better. Something greater. The fulfillment of God's promise. What is that something better? What is that something better that God promised to them and has provided for you? You don't have to wonder. You don't have to guess. You don't decide it for yourself. The letter of Hebrews tells you what that something better is. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. In your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things. Things that belong to salvation. Chapter 7, verse 19. You have a better hope. Chapter 7, verse 22. You have a better covenant. Chapter 8, verse 6. You have a better mediator. Chapter 9, verse 23. You have a better sacrifice. Chapter 10, verse 34. You have a better possession. Chapter 11, verse 16. You have a better country. Chapter 11, verse 35. You have a better life. What is that better thing for which your elders hoped? Which God has provided for you? It is nothing less than eternal life and the kingdom of glory. It was promised to them, and it has been given to you. As it has been fulfilled in the obedience of Jesus Christ unto death. As it has been fulfilled in His resurrection unto glory. Your elders did not receive in their life what was promised. They did not receive it for your sake. they did not receive what was promised for your sake. They did not receive what was promised so that you could share in that promise. They were not made perfect apart from you so that they could be made perfect with you. What is that perfection? It is the better thing for which they hoped. Certainly not a perfect life in this world, whatever that might mean. Imagine a perfect life in this world. And whatever you are imagining, that's not it. God has revealed to us what it means to be made perfect in His Son. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, although He was a Son, He learned obedience through what He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. To be made perfect, it is to attain that better thing. To be made perfect is to attain the resurrection of the dead, to enter the kingdom of glory, that better country, that heavenly country, that lasting city prepared by God. It was promised to your elders, and it has now been provided to you. Do you understand the privilege that is yours? The people of God from the beginning of the world longed to see what you have seen. They longed for the day in which you live. They all died before the fulfillment of their hope in Christ. They died without receiving it. But you have never lived without it. The privilege is yours. The privilege is yours to live in the last days. To be the people of God upon whom the end of the ages has come. You have received something into which the angels long to look. You possess the gospel fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Do you grow weary? Do you grow weary of doing good? Do you grow weary of being faithful? Are you tired? Are you tired of waiting for something which you cannot see? Hebrews chapter 11 was written for you as an example to you. Your elders in the faith, they are an example to you because they call you to be conformed to the image of Christ. They call you to be conformed to the image of that one who was made perfect through suffering for your sake. That you might share in His glory. That you might share in His perfection. Your elders in the faith, they were conformed to that same image. They endured suffering while not being made perfect for your sake. That they might not be made perfect apart from you, that you might be made perfect with them. They endured suffering for your sake, without having received what was promised. But you have received what was promised. Will you not also then endure suffering for the sake of those who have yet to be gathered? Will you not also endure for their sake? Will you not also be patient with God for their sake? Your elders in the faith, they bore the image of Christ for your sake. Shall we not bear the image of Christ for the sake of this world? What shall you not endure in this world in hope of the world to come? What shall you not suffer in this world in hope of the glory to come? What shall you not lose in this world for the gain to come? What suffering is greater than the glory to come? What loss is not worth what will be gained? You have need of endurance. But you are a privileged people. For God has given to you a great cloud of witnesses. Calling you forward, calling you to endure, pointing you to that one who has endured for you, who has opened the way for you, who has gone before you, who is with you to the end, who will never leave you, who will never forsake you. He will preserve you, even as you persevere in Him. Amen. Let us pray.